My name is Christopher Flynn, and I am the pastor of student ministry here at Renaissance Church. It is my usual, typical, and great joy to teach the middle school Bible study on Sunday mornings. We're usually in the white building that you drive by that you usually don't recognize when you first drive in. But we're there, and we are reading through the Bible. We're starting back in Genesis, so if you see any middle schoolers today, ask them about what they know about Noah. That would be great. And you'll see some wide eyes. This summer, we are reading through the scriptures to learn about life together, and that is being built up and understanding our function in each other's lives. What I'd like to talk about today is how God comforts us in our suffering and uses it uniquely to expand our capacity to comfort others. I'll tell you this, that the sermon that I've prepared to bring to you today, the Lord has actually been preparing in me for a good number of years, and as we get going, you'll hopefully feel the same way. We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. If you want to grab one of the Bibles that are around you, it is maroon, and it says NRSV, but don't be nervous. We will be on page 1053, if you brought your own Bible, or if you want to follow on the screen, you can do that as well. But we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. 2 Corinthians is one of four letters that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. We have two of them preserved for us to glean from today. And this particular one, second book of Corinthians, Paul talks about suffering and affliction. So let's read together verses 3 through 11 from chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is your consolation which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death so that we would rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again, as you also join in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Imagine being that church in Corinth, receiving these words from the Apostle Paul, sharing a bit of vulnerability of what he's going through, but framing it in a way so we can understand what life's trials, afflictions, and sufferings can do. Because this passage wonderfully illuminates three very important things that when we grasp them, will transform how we move through trials, live with others, and function as the church. Those three things, if you're taking notes, the first is knowing our source of comfort, understanding the purpose of suffering, and activating the fortifying power of prayer. Knowing our source of comfort, understanding the purpose of suffering, and activating the fortifying power of prayer. Now, the first, knowing our source of comfort. If you join me again in 2 Corinthians, Paul identifies very, very quickly who our source of comfort is. Verse 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in our affliction. Yes, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he gets very, very specific. He is the source of all consolation. Now, I'll use these words interchangeably, consolation and comfort. Consolation is a type of comfort that is specific to heartache, trials, suffering. Comfort can mean that, but it also can be like, hey, these shoes are comfortable. But you can't say these shoes are consoling, unless you have good consoles, and then they'll be... I digress. God is the source of all consolation. He comforts us in all our affliction. I want to sit in that for a moment. All our affliction. Because affliction can look like a lot of different things. It can be physical. Some here today are walking around with chronic illness, which to most seems invisible, but every day is heavy suffering. It could be you walking around with having just received a recent frightening diagnosis, or the terrible effects of growing old. Affliction can be emotional. How we as humans interact with one another on personal scales and grand scales. Financial affliction and suffering. Familial. And even spiritual. All our afflictions. Several times, Paul returns to the idea that God comforts and consoles us in our trials, afflictions, and sufferings. And as is so often in the writings of Paul, he points our attention to the cross, the sufferings of Christ. Now, Christ's sufferings are unique from ours in that he was crucified for the sin of the world so as to redeem us and bring us back into right relationship with God. That is unique to him. But what it shows and demonstrates for us is that his willingness and focus on seeing that through, what it allows us to do, what it enables us to do, what he invites us to do is to identify in his sufferings. And it expands our capacity in a really magnificent way. See, God is a good comforter. In Psalm 34, King David captures this beautifully in this poem where he writes about how good it is to find comfort and solace in the Lord. One of the key lines from there is, he is near to the brokenhearted. If you're in a season of suffering or trial or affliction, I'd encourage you to meditate on this psalm. Let the words of Psalm 34 inform your prayers, while maintaining this understanding that the promise of God is not that when we open our hearts to him and follow him as his disciples, that our difficulties and troubles go away. Anybody who says that follow Jesus and your troubles will be gone, they're lying. Truly, Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The thought things like this don't happen to good Christians is something that actually the Apostle Paul was dealing with at the time he wrote this letter. There were those who were accusing him and trying to undermine his ministry, his sharing of the gospel by saying, man, Paul's going through a lot of unpleasant stuff. Do you ever think that maybe it's because he's not actually the kind of guy, the kind of apostle that he's presenting himself to be? I don't know, maybe God doesn't like him. Paul was saying, yeah, I've gone through suffering. Yeah, I've gone through trial, but it's with a very specific and distinct purpose. God is changing me to help change you. Trials, sufferings, and affliction are part of life. And the reasons for them are varied. And that's not the focus of this sermon of why do bad things happen. We're talking about what do we do in them and through them. Paul illustrates this more deeply for us in verses 8 through 10. If you look there with me, he says this. He says, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." We actually don't know what specific event he is referring to in his life and ministry. It probably happened when he was down in Ephesus and in his workings there. And if you read through the book of Acts or through Paul's other letters, you'll see other references to the hardships that he endured. So we don't know the specific one, but he highlights it. "We don't want you to be unaware of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death so that we would not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again." Heavy. Pay a little bit more close attention to what he says. "So that we endured suffering, we unbearably crushed, so that we would not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." So Paul is understanding that in his specific trial, he leaned on God and not himself. To us up here in the Northeast, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps is a little bit of a way of life, right? We're self-made people, entrepreneurs. Paul says, no, the sufferings and trials I'm enduring are so that I would rely on God. And he's encouraging the Corinthians and us to do the same, to look to the God who raises the dead. Now, this morning, I don't want to move too quickly past the language he uses to describe what he was going through, where he says, unbearably crushed, utterly unbearably crushed, so much that he despaired of life. Have you been there? I have. Feeling you're at the end of your rope, feeling you have no other options. Paul says, lean in to God, the God who raises the dead. This trust empowered him not only to endure, but to move him towards something that is unimaginably good. See, he knows that God is the source of all comfort, of all consolation, and all afflictions, and there's a purpose to move him to comfort others. And that's the second point, is the purpose of suffering. So first, that we would rely on God, knowing him as our source of comfort. The next is to move us towards others, to provide consolation and comfort. Look with me at verse 4. "God, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction, with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God." So God purposes our suffering so that we would be equipped to offer this consolation and comfort to others who are being afflicted by all that life throws at them. Our comfort in suffering is so that we may comfort others. You can think of it not like a, you know, they're there, it's okay, but as a there, over there, they need comfort. Over there, that's where they need comfort. That's where they need the consolation of God. Move towards them. And I'm not sure about you, but most of the time, my suffering and trial feel a little bit more disqualifying or a hindrance to being with others. How many of you grew up in a family where if one of you got sick, you were immediately sent to your room, don't come down, we'll slide soup under the door? Some families are like, nope, we want to be with everybody, but then everybody gets sick, so. Remember chickenpox parties? Yeah, anyway. There's a lot of reasons why we want to isolate ourselves. We tend towards isolating ourselves when we're going through trials and suffering and heartache, and this can be for a number of reasons, one of which being embarrassment. I can't have anybody seeing me this way. shame of good Christians shouldn't suffer like this. If I let someone know I'm going through something because I was stupid, what are they going to think of me? There's also you want to isolate because of resentment. Where are you? A good God doesn't let people like me go through this. And so we pull away. Now, there are many, many other reasons that you can think of, but I don't want to get into all of that today. Instead, I want us to believe that on the contrary, your sufferings and the comfort you receive must be shared for the building up of the people of God and the encouragement of the world. You see, one of the tactics of our enemy is that he would want to isolate and destroy us. That whisper of, you're all alone, and God doesn't care. In fact, nobody does. It's really offensive. Throughout this passage, I hope that you see togetherness as a constant thread. If you think of it this way, God made us for community. The temptation we face is to isolate and face our struggles alone. Now, suffering can be a really lonely thing. And God's not far off or aloof in our troubles. He is near. And he wants to expand our souls and produce endurance and compassion. Soft hearts towards others who are suffering. Paul is saying that what God comforts us with is what we are then to extend to other people. Now, this is where this subject can get a little delicate. Notice he says, with what we receive from God, we extend to others. I'm sure you can think of a time in your life when you were going through a time of trouble, trial, suffering, affliction, and you were offered less than ideal comfort. Maybe you are the guilty one saying the wrong thing to someone who's hurt. This is something that is exampled in the book of Job. If you know the book of Job in the Old Testament, he suffered unimaginable tragedy. His friends, upon hearing this, they come and they sit with him, and they sit with him, and this is good. And then they start talking. They start thinking in their, like, well, you know, maybe it's this reason that you're suffering. Maybe it's that reason that you're suffering. And gets to the point where Job says, you are miserable comforters. So I want to offer some, you know, some cautions of, as we move towards others to comfort with what we receive from God, let it be that, what we have received from God. There are a couple of do nots when it comes to offering consolation that I want to empower you with today. The first is platitudes. Do not offer glib gift store theology, God will never give you more than you can handle. His toughest assignments to his strongest soldiers. You will get through this. We can sometimes offer these things because they feel good. It's like, hey, I'm still going a card. But sometimes it does more harm than good. I want to go back to that one, that the God gives you more than you can handle. I want to denounce this. The language that Paul used in verses 8 and 9 is pretty strong. He says, utterly, unbearably crushed, that he despaired of life. Sometimes the trials and sufferings and afflictions we face in life are too much for us to handle ourselves. That's why we need Jesus. Paul said, so that we would rely on the God who raises the dead and then moves us towards other people. The next do not is comparisons. Don't compare sufferings. It's not a scar contest. Share your experience to console and to comfort, not to one up. You think that's bad? Wait till you hear what I went through. And avoidance. Sometimes we feel like we'll just give them their space, when that's the very last thing that people actually need. They need people to show up and shut up. In the book of Galatians, Paul says, we're to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. In that passage, he talks about each one has their own load to carry. You can liken that to the things that we go through on a normal day-to-day basis. But then there's the burdens that we need help carrying. And isn't it so good that God has given us the opportunity to be a community that helps one another lift? You've seen the graphics on the side of IKEA boxes. Some of them, you do the team lift. Together is how we endure suffering and hardship. With what we're given from God, God uses it to expand our capacity for caring, to refine our character and make us more like Jesus and move us toward one another. It puts a little bit of a new spin on taking one for the team. Now, the realization of our wounds being used to console others gained real clarity for me when it came to the topic of church hurt. In my younger and more immature days in ministry, I would come across people who either left the faith or were moving to find a new church. And in my ignorance, I dismissed them as immature. What are you talking about? I have no idea what you're going on about. Okay, you say the church hurt you? What does that mean? Oh, how wrong I was. Until I experienced it for myself, where in the church where I was serving, there was a very ugly and unpleasant grasp for leadership and power. Getting caught in the middle, trying to do everything I thought was right, it ended up being very disappointing. And the journey that I went on after that was pretty tumultuous. I asked a lot of questions to God, to others, and I'm so grateful that God brought to me people who have had similar experiences to offer good consolation to me, and that God worked through that to expand my capacity to move towards others. Because people do hurt people. There are no perfect institutions. God used this wound that I had acquired to expand my heart and move me towards others in a way that I wouldn't have before. See, God doesn't waste our sorrows. He is a master smelter and craftsman, where he uses every scrap in our lives to make us more like his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the last and final element that we're going to talk about today, so knowing our source of comfort is God alone. He is the sole source of consolation that he then purposes our suffering to move towards others, to offer what we ourselves are receiving from God. Last one is activating the fortifying element of prayer, or you can just say the fortifying power of prayer. In verses 10 and 11, he says, and I closed the Bible, which was a bad move. He who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. On him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again, as you also joining in helping us by your prayers, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Prayer is a wild thing. It's often neglected in the lives of the busy. We'll slide it in, just before a meal or right before bed. I, in my younger, earlier preaching days, used it as filler when I would go too short. But prayer is really fortifying. Follow me through this movement of what Paul is telling us. He says, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, consoles us in all of our affliction, so that we would be moved to offer consolation and comfort to those who are also being afflicted. And he wraps that all up by telling the Corinthians, your prayers, the prayers of many, is what fortifies all of this up. We suffer in life. We do. God comforts us through those sufferings so that we would move towards one another to comfort. There's a woman named Johnny Erickson Tada, and as a teenager, she was paralyzed in a swimming accident. And her story of her journey through understanding why that happened in her life is rich and painful and beautiful, because what she does now is speaks, writes, and teaches to bring hope through hardship to suffering people around the world in the name of Jesus. God purposes our sufferings so that we would move towards one another to comfort. And it's all buttressed up in prayer. You may be thinking, well, I'm not articulate. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a writer. Pray. Pray for those who are suffering. Pray thanking God for his goodness that moves people through suffering and towards one another. I went to Moody Bible Institute for college for preparation for ministry, and there was a song that we sang there quite often, which from what I know only has one existing recording, and it was a hymn that was found in a bulletin and then was put to music. I'm going to read for you just a couple of the stanzas that have been so comforting to me when I've looked at and walked through and faced different trials. The song's called Hear, Master. And it starts, "Hear, Master, in this quiet place where anyone may kneel. I also come to ask for grace, believing you can heal. If pain of body, stress of mind, destroys my inward peace, in prayer for others, may I find the secret of release." Is pain of body afflicting you? Is stress of mind tormenting you? Is it destroying that inward peace? My encouragement to you, in prayer for others, lifting them up, that God will grant you the secret of release, that as we know our source of comfort, we allow him to purpose our suffering in moving towards others to offer consolation and comfort, all wrapped up in a beautiful bow of prayer. Pray with me. God, we will all experience a time of suffering. Help us move towards you as you so clearly move towards us. Gird us in your grace to count it all joy. I thank you for togetherness. Open our eyes to see what you have designed for us to be comforted. Open our hearts to one another and move us to prayer. Lord Jesus, what we receive from you, let it be extended to others, and let this flow continue to bolster, fortify, and grow your church. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.